Oh, now you're ready to call it, huh? It's so funny to me. Now you're like, I've been done with them. Really? We're going to talk about it. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Abe Gordon in for Mike, who's on vacay. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. What a weekend it was. Hope you enjoyed your 4th of July. I certainly did. I did not enjoy seeing the Braves lose continuously. But outside of that, it was a great 4th of July holiday. And on top of that, we got to give a big applause today because Big O is back after maternity leave and you know, the beautiful child. And was it 8, 9, 10, 15 weeks? How long was it, Big O?
It was 8 weeks.
Okay, I thought it was 15, but
no,
it's so
eight,
good.
8 weeks, yes.
It's so good to have you back here and now, and you got the fresh cut.
Yeah.
Man, you feel good?
For the summertime. I feel good. I lost some weight when I was on paternity, man.
Yeah.
Doing some yoga, you know, just finding my inner self, my inner calm. But before I move on, I want to give a shout-out to Day-Day. I want to give a shout-out to Dom. And
Dominator.
Newly engaged Garrett Chapman. Shout-out to all three of those guys for being able to hold this down. A shout-out to Mike Conte for making this thing work for me to be able to take 15 weeks off
yes.
of birth of my child.
Yes, it was incredible.
But shout out to all those guys for holding it down and making the transition seem seamless. Every time I caught the show, didn't sound any different than it did before, and that's a testament to the guys that we have here putting in really good work. So shout out to all those guys for doing really, really good work.
That's a great point, and there was no, as I like to say, fall off. Because when people fill in, Abe, I like to say there needs to be no fall off. Now, Mike is somewhere probably on a boat himself, enjoying himself. And we got a lot to chop up, and we will. Coming off the 4th of July weekend, speaking of giving shout-outs, and oh, it is good to have you back, seriously, after 15 weeks. I've got to give a shout-out to my neighbors for not having fireworks all night long on the 4th of July. I was concerned, I was worried that they would go into the wee hours of the night, but I guess my message on July 3rd got to them, and they cut the fireworks at about, I don't know, a little bit after midnight, which was acceptable. It didn't go to 2 or 3 a.m., but you, sir, Abe Gordon, ran the Peachtree Road race.
I did.
How did you do?
I did okay. I think I could say I'm relatively happy with the performance, but I still like had massive failures throughout the race, specifically the last 3 miles, which is where it becomes difficult. I got to crack that code at some point, and it certainly wasn't Friday morning. I came in at like 53:17.
Okay.
So it's still pretty good.
It's a great time. What are you talking
about? It's okay. I
Who
set
are you
myself
measuring
up
yourself against?
Myself. You know.
You weren't in last place, were you? There were people that were behind you still running when you finished, correct?
Well, yeah.
Then there you
there
go,
are some
Abe.
People. I don't think there's some people who probably hadn't even started the race yet when I finished.
Well, then what are you talking about?
That's
great.
It's still a letdown.
Okay.
I knew where I was, what I could have done, and it, then it didn't happen.
Okay, really? I knew I could have done better, but it didn't happen. Where did you break down? What part of the race?
Just all of the last 3 miles.
Okay. Cardiac Hill, Abe, gotcha.
No, I mean, I always do a half run, half walk on Cardiac Hill. They renamed it Hope Hill, by the way, this year.
Oh, did they?
Took my hope away from finishing sub 50 is what
it
did.
It's almost appropriate.
No, because they have a water station right up there, so I know I'm walking that part of, because I can't drink water and run at the same time.
Everybody else does. Why not?
Dude, I've never understood that.
You can't chew bubble gum and do other things?
I can chew bubble gum, but it just splashes in my face at that point.
Okay.
And so I slow down a little bit.
How violently are you running to where water just splashes?
Arms are waving, man.
Cup,
people know
man.
To get out the way when I waggle through. You know what I mean?
I'm just glad you finished.
It was a pretty good run, but I still need to – I got to figure out how I break down so badly.
Don't you have a running coach for that?
They'd probably tell me to do a bunch of things that I don't currently do. Start by wearing a watch.
Okay.
I don't run with a watch.
Oh, that probably helps.
Went out way too fast.
Yeah.
First mile was like, for me, like 6:50.
That's pretty good.
6:51.
Yeah. So you were flying.
It's only good if you can hold it.
First,
fall off a cliff.
First 3 miles. All right, I got to ask the obvious question, and we do have a lot to talk about. I mean, you see I'm avoiding talking about it, right? You've noticed this. Were you in shape enough? Were you ready for this? Because you shouldn't have fallen off the last 3 miles if you were really ready.
Couple things. I always fall off at this part of the race. Like, it's not like just this year. It's happened 3 years in a row, four
okay.
years in a row.
All right.
I did have a slight injury that prevented me from ramping up training as much as I would have liked. I really only had like 2.5 weeks to run before the Peachtree.
to really get ready.
Yeah, so okay. I'm not as...
But you had been running all the way up until the point of the injury.
I had to take 5 weeks off okay. in the middle of...
Well, then you have an excuse for them to blow, yeah, not finishing like, the way you wanted.
In, what was it, March, April, May? Like, almost all of May, I wasn't running.
All right.
And then, like, the first week of June is when I kind of had to start.
I saw a lot of the posts from people who were there. We're talking about the Peachtree Road Race, a tradition. And it was cool to see all the posts and people just, you know, being motivated to get back out there. Now, I say all this to say, I saw you and Allie Mack taking shots. I think it was Thursday when I was talking about, I want to say that Day-Day had asked us, and yeah, man, no, man, if we ever wanted to run the Peachtree.
Yeah.
And Mike was like, nope, my knees are past that. I can't do it. And Mike's not a runner. Let's be honest. Secondly, I said, yeah, in 2020, I was actually training for the race. And then it went virtual, and I didn't want to do it because it just wasn't the same. It's not the same energy. You know that on the streets and being out. So I was like, all right, there was my one shot because I was like, all right, I'm going to get ready. And I started, I think it started in January.
Yeah.
And I was training, and then obviously the pandemic happened in March, and we know the rest.
Sure.
And so Allie was like, hey, get out with us. Did Allie run this race, by the way?
Yeah.
She did.
Yeah.
How did she do?
I don't know what her initial goals were. I know her final time.
Okay. So she participated. Because I saw her like, Dukes, join me. And I was like, cool. And then you were like, yeah, until he has to run. And I'm like, I'm all for it. Next year, let's do this.
All I'm saying is talk is talk. Show up and lace them up. That's all.
Do I get to run with your run club
anytime you
in
want.
Sandy Springs? Like, your left, your left. How do they do this? How does that work?
We just run.
Y'all don't sing while you run?
Don't.
No? None of that?
Come out Saturday morning.
Everybody just has their headphones on and run.
No, we talk, we do whatever, but it's, you know, different people running different paces.
Yeah, okay.
Come hang out.
And then afterwards, what happens?
I normally go home.
Okay.
They stay and get coffee at a place there.
So they socialize and actually are part of the group.
Yeah, I feel bad. I have a problem with my own thoughts. I feel bad.
You
that
sure
I,
you want to share this?
Yes, it's fine.
Okay.
I feel bad that I leave my dog at home.
Oh.
And so then I go home and return to her.
All right. I
take
understand.
Her outside and say, I'm sorry I left.
Look, I get it. All right. I understand. I do. I mean, here's the funny thing. Mike's out today. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. When I used to say this to Mike about my dogs before he had Ike, he would laugh. Oh, you don't have to go about that. Come on. You can come out. You can come hang out here. Then as soon as he got Ike, every day, I got to go home.
Yeah.
Got to get home.
Yeah.
Got to go home. And it's funny because the roles had reversed. Now, I have two. They're still puppies. Frankie and Louie, they're two Bostons. Frankie's a year and Louie's like 6 months. But they're potty trained, like they're house trained. It's not like I have to rush home necessarily to see about them. But I understand your dog's a little bit older, though.
Yeah, but it's not even that.
So
it's
you
not
just
that
have
aspect.
You just have guilt.
Yeah,
wow.
we just woke because we run. They run early because they're trying to beat the heat.
Yeah.
And so I wake up, walk her, and then immediately leave.
All right.
And I just feel bad.
Okay, that's interesting. I had no idea. Why are we talking about the Peachtree Road Race and not the Braves? Because this is over. And after seeing the Braves dismantled this weekend, and old Charlie Morton coming and allowing just two runs, and you're going, wow, we could have used that instead of allowing him to just leave after 4 years. By the way, since May 10th, Charlie Morton's 5-0 in his 10 appearances and 7 starts, 5 scoreless innings. The only thing he gave up was a Drake 2-run homer. Then you fast forward to Saturday. I'm on a boat. And I get an update. Oh, wow. The Braves have lost again 9-6 in 10 innings. Okay, great. And then Sunday. And Snit rest Acuna, Ozuna, and Harris. And you probably thought we have no shot. Well, we haven't had a shot with those guys in the lineup, let alone without them in the lineup. Sean Murphy goes deep in the ninth, and you're going, hey, we got a chance. And that's all we did. 2-1, ball game. They get out of town. We've lost 4 straight. We're 11 games under 500. What is there to discuss, Atlanta? You tell us. 404-726-0929. And when I say this is done, this is as worse as we've been prior to this 7-year run where we won this division and have been in the mix every year. And we were bad back then. So I have zero hope and zero belief that they're going to find a way to put it together. And, oh, by the way, did I mention, Abe, the All-Star game is, let me think, next week. This is done.
If the Braves will be well represented, three members of that team somehow find their way to the All-Star game. I know Chris Sale obviously won't pitch. It's been done, Carl, and everyone's been hesitant to say it. Oh, let's see how this 13-game stretch comes out. Oh, we kind of did just enough in there to think you're still alive. Let's see how the weekend series comes out. And, all right, this guy's got a nice start, and, you know, the rotation will turn back over, and then we'll see. And it's just, I've been here for a month, 6 weeks, and I'm saying there's no reason for me to believe it's turning around.
I wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt because the core group is still really talented, and this is the biggest mystery.
Who's in that core?
Okay, hold on. This is the biggest mystery of the season, right? When I tell you that the core group that hit in 23 and had one of the most amazing seasons in MLB history, that core group is still here. Whether we're talking Riley or Olsen or Acuna, like you say, okay, cool, and I know Acuna just got back, but you see how good he's been.
But you named three guys, and the core is more than that.
It is. It's Albies. It's Harris.
Yeah.
Because they were all here.
Right.
Okay? And you and I both know that, okay, wait a minute. The results are not equaling the talent on the field. So I was willing to give them the benefit of the doubt. But I got to tell you, now I'm over it. You know why? I'm done with false hope. I'm finished
Thank you.
False hope. The false hope is that we keep hoping and wishing that every time we run these guys out there that they're going to score runs. And Abe said this to me before the start of the show. He said, it's almost surprising now that they score runs and we are, like, surprised at the fact that they actually, you know, put some runs on the board.
We're more surprised and almost aghast that, oh, some team held us to one run. Like, no, man. I don't know how they scored seven the night before. And I, the other thing I told you, I don't know how this team hasn't been no-hit this year.
Come on. That's not going to happen, is it? 404-726.
Let's just sit Acuna one more time and see.
0929.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, Snit, I feel you, brother. I hope.
By the way,
I hope you're getting a massage today, Snit. I really do. Deep tissue.
He's gone full into sunset mode. With these comments, have you seen? You've seen the change in tone.
Oh, so now
they got good massage spots in Sacramento.
I'm just saying, deep tissue. I hope he's getting a massage today. He deserves it. Are you saying Snit has 1 foot out the door?
Well, we already knew that. He's just making it vocally obvious.
That's egregious. We got to come back and talk about it. That's egregious. We're coming back. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. How dare you? How dare you say that Snit has 1 foot out the door already? This insinuation. I can't even believe you went there. Now, look, the Braves have not been good. But by no means has Brian Snicker quit in any way, shape, or form. Abe Gordon in for Mike Bell. You went to break talking about this, and I've been saying this to you. I don't know what you're talking about. Snit is doing everything he can. What? Look, I wanted to fire Snit after we blew a 6-run lead in the ninth inning. And they didn't. Okay, so we kept moving, and we now know that they're not going to at least do anything until probably the end of the season if they do anything
internally
at all.
We're going to have to do it, and we're going to have to make it happen. And
we haven't. And so now I'm to a point where I'm like, Snit's doing everything he possibly can. I had a conversation with somebody inside the Braves organization about this. And Abe, they said to me, he's at his wit's end. He literally is like, I've changed the lineup. I've talked to every guy. I don't know what to do. Have you ever had a situation with your kid where your kid continues to, like, misbehave and get into trouble, and then all of a sudden, like, you've done all the things, and, you know, the people at the school have talked to him, and they keep doing the things, and you talk to him, and, like, grandma and grandpa talk to him, and it just keeps doing the same things? You ever been in that situation? That's the Braves right now. Don't hit, can't win, aren't clutch enough, pitching sucks, and the manager is like, what do you want me to do? It's blasphemy that you even would insinuate that he has 1 foot out the door.
Well, a couple things I want to state, because you mentioned, whether you meant to or not, the possibility of change. And I don't think that is on the table. At no point all season have I ever even considered the possibility of change until the offseason. He does not and should not be fired at any point this season.
So it's not his fault?
No, of course not. But I also think it's time for someone new to lead the team forward. I have nothing against Snit. I think he's incredible. But it's also time to go ahead. I mean, what are we going to do? Because if he stays one more year now, you might actually have to fire him. I think he's probably come to that conclusion as well. I think there's been comments to him directly from the franchise to say, hey, man, we're not going to fire you in season, but, like, you got to retire. It's time. They just canned it in D.C.
They did. General manager.
And guess what? They got a ring, too.
Yes, they do.
Those guys got a ring, too.
It before us.
And it's been a little bit longer, and that's understood. Yep. But let's not pretend that having the ring is just going to save you for perpetuity. Those guys just got canned.
So can we call it? Can we call it?
I called it a month ago. Right. I don't want to.
Let's call it. Let's call it, though. It's official. This is over.
Before the All-Star break?
Before the All-Star break. Snit, we know you don't have the answers, and we understand that you've tried. But this is done. It's time to put this to bed. And understand that being 11 games under 500 a week before the All-Star game is not where we're used to being. But Braves country, this is false hope.
Remember the start of the year where we went 0-7 and we're like, all right, season starts now, game 8.
Yes.
They've actually been worse since then. They've actually somehow gotten worse.
Which is hard to believe because that was such a terrible start.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, right? This is why it's false hope. And by the way, we're going to get to the congratulations of the guys that are going to be participating in the All-Star game because we need to be able to at least applaud the guys that are going to represent our wonderful city. And the city's going to put on. We're going to put on for the All-Star game and the Home Run Derby and everything that's going on, the Fan Fest. Mike and I are going to be down there Monday, Tuesday. It's going to be a great time. But the false hope comes from the idea that Sale's going to come back and all of a sudden win 4 or 5 in a row for you. The false hope comes from the injury bug that has bitten us with A.J. Smith-Shawver out, Tommy John, Ronaldo Lopez, high hopes, expectations, shoulder, done. Just go down the list of all the things that have transpired on top of the fact that your regular everyday lineup has not hit. And then you just know the one big question mark. And Money Harris, man, talk about answers. I have zero answers.
So this is where the false hope comes in for me.
I have zero answers for Michael Money Harris.
And here's the problem. And I trust Alex Anthopoulos. I think he's a very good GM. He was on this station a couple of weeks ago talking about stretches in a career and ups and downs, and you don't really panic until it's not up and down and waves, that it's just a flat line. Michael Harris is approaching now a full year of being a flat line. He got real hot at the end of the year last year. That's the only reason we're even still considering this. But the same thing with Ozzie Albies. When you talk about false hope to me, it's with those two guys. And us believing, really the entire fan base, at some point it will even out. Because that's what we were told at different times via whatever various statistic you want to hit. BABIP or exit velo, all of that stuff. All of that stuff. That at some point, it would even out the way we've seen Olsen go hot and cold, the way we've seen at times Riley go hot and cold, the way we've seen Sean Murphy go hot and cold. That for Harris and Ozzie, it would even out. It's not evening out.
Someone once told me time is a flat circle.
That's where the false hope is for me. What was supposed to be Acuña gets back and these guys start hitting and the offense takes off.
Yeah.
No. They're not taking off. That guy's batting .210 with a .230 on base percentage.
It's bad.
Carl.
It's bad.
You could get on .110.
I know.
Like, you'll get hit by a pitch here and there, take a walk.
Oh, I would take plenty
of walks.
You'll
get picked off.
Cause
that's all
hit.
Right.
I could hit. I'd be watching these pitches fly by. I mean, like.
He should watch some of them fly by. They're landing in the dirt, and we're swinging at it.
Okay, so we're going to put this in perspective. And this is not banging on Money Harris. This is the entire team. But Money Harris and Albies stand out.
Harris is the one that bothers me most.
Okay.
Ozzie is doing whatever he can, and that's fine. Ozzie has a much different ceiling, in my opinion, than what Harris has.
All right.
That's the problem.
Okay.
Harris isn't being the five-tool player that I believe he has inside of him.
I don't disagree.
He's not even close.
I don't disagree with you. Athletically, talent-wise, you're right. But to put this in perspective, speaking of the walks, and then we're going to hear from Chris Sale, who was selected to being an All-Star. Congratulations. Stop it. And Matt Olson as well. Money Harris hasn't drawn a walk in 153 plate appearances. I just want you to think about that for a second. You only get three or four at bats, maybe five in a game, and that's not on the norm. And he has gone to the plate 153 times and hasn't drawn a walk. Guys, it's almost impossible. It's almost impossible to think you could be at the plate that much and go, I'm going to take four. Like, I'm not even going to swing. I'm just going to see what this guy throws me. Or at least attempt to draw a walk and make a pitcher throw 9 or 10 pitches to you. So that's how bad it is.
I figured it out.
And I have no answer for him.
No, I figured it out.
What?
You remember when Eddie Rosario played blind for half a season?
Of course.
Have we checked?
If his sight is vision?
He's swinging at balls. Have we checked?
You think he needs LASIK or something?
You said Snit has tried almost everything.
Snit has tried everything.
One last test, it's an eye exam.
Well, yeah, Rosario, I don't know how he was seeing the ball or wasn't seeing the ball, but once he got fixed, he was great. If you don't remember, he had like an eye issue and then, you know, had surgery, and we were like, how is he even seeing the ball? We're talking about the Braves, guys. They are off today. They take on the A's tomorrow. They're on the road. The A's are 19 games under 500.
Athletics, remember, we're not calling them A's in Sacramento.
Okay.
I told you that.
They are in Sacramento, which is a crap town. But the A's Athletics are 19 games under. Don't laugh. We're 11. Like, I know you think like the A's are one of the worst teams in the league. Well, guess what? We're trending that way. So this is not like, oh, we'll get right and go play the A's before the All-Star break. I have no expectations anymore. I just don't. 404-726-0929. You guys can hit us up. Follow us on social media, by the way. I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes. Follow the radio show, Dukes and Bell 929. Follow the radio station, 929 The Game. And, of course, you can hit Mike up. He's on vacay at Mike Bell ATL. Abe, give him your social media.
It's just at Abe Gordon. It's easy. Very simple.
It's easy. Can I hear Chris Sale on being named Big O, an all-star? Big O is back, by the way, behind the glass after 15 weeks of maternity leave. Can I hear him talk about this?
My kids love it. They have a blast. And, you know, hopefully the younger ones now can remember some of these, you know, some of the moments and be able to appreciate it when they get older. I remember Jake Peavy telling me one time, and I felt like this a few years ago when I was going through it. I remember him telling me when he had three sons at the time, he's like, my oldest son knew I was a bad My middle son knows I play baseball. My youngest son thinks I stink. So I stole that joke from him a few years ago. So it's cool to, you know, let the boys in the house know Dad still got it a little bit.
It is cool. There's no doubt. And it's one of the reasons why I think guys continue to try to play as their kids get older. And you want to have your kids experience a little bit of that. And it is neat for Chris and Matt and Ronald Acuna. By the way, Matt Olson from Atlanta, for those who don't know, was at the 2000 All-Star Weekend and was at the Home Run Derby. And you fast forward 25 years, it was 2000 when that happened at the TED, but now he's going to participate. And I think that's a cool story within itself. So we have our guys that are going to be a part of the All-Star game and certainly the All-Star Week festivities. And that's something to look forward to. But this team right now is absolutely going nowhere. We're coming back. We got more to discuss. Cynthia Freeland from NFL Network is going to join us coming up a little bit later on. And a Hawks discussion you don't want to miss next.
And now, if you'll just follow me, we have one more test to administer, an eye exam.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Wednesday, I get my dates mixed up. Wednesday, we're going to be out at Hiram, hanging out at the Buffalo's Cafe out there, Hiram, and inviting you guys to come out. If you're in the area, come hang out with us. We'd love to get a chance to see you. Great food, drinks, and lots of fun with Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up, we'll get into some NFL conversation. Do you realize, Abe, who's in for Mike today, we are just a few weeks away from the start of training camp. I cannot wait! We are just a few weeks from rookies reporting. And I'm not just talking about the Falcons. Obviously, around the National Football League, but believe it or not, the countdown is on, man. And we're going to get to the All-Star game next week, and it'll be great and lots of fun for us here in the ATL. But football's right around the corner.
Yeah, the countdown actually reaches zero today for football season. It starts for me when Netflix releases quarterback, because that comes out tonight/tomorrow morning. And if you don't think that there's going to be some questions when training camp opens up, about a variety of things that will be shown?
Well,
we still
hold up, Carl,
because you know it's going to be asked.
You're talking about Kirk Cousins.
We still feel pretty good about after finally seeing his draft night reaction. All square still with you and Penix. It's going to be asked.
It's all behind him. What are you going
to
ask, O?
I was going to say, Abe, tell the listeners the discussion you had with Carl and I about how you plan to view this thing.
I was just trying to do some proper show prep and research and find out if they are going to, throw all the full season or if they're doing like a week-by-week release.
Yeah.
By the way, we'll get there, Orin. We'll get there. The streamers have got to get off of this nonsense where one episode a week.
Why?
Let me binge. What's wrong with you?
Look, it keeps you locked in.
I'm going to wake up at 3 a.m. and watch all the episodes.
Who the hell does that? We're watching this show.
Radio professional over here.
Ridiculous.
Thank you.
Come on. This show, Smoke, on Apple?
Yeah. I can't wait to get into it. And guess what? I'm waiting.
It's once a week.
Yeah. And I haven't started. Same thing with Countdown on Amazon.
Yep.
No, I'm not starting it until they're all out. I'm good. I promise you I'll watch them. I love Taron Egerton.
John Frick, he told me what he does is
what?
He waits until like a show or several shows complete like their season runs, and then he and the Maven will just get the free trial and then just watch it all during the free trial.
And then cancel.
And then just cancel the free trial.
That's just cheap, John. Now, I've done that where I've forgotten that I got the trial, and then I get a bill, and I'm like, what's this $6 for? What's this $8 for? And I totally forget. That happened with Peacock, and I still have it because I think I had to get it for the football stuff last year.
I bought it for the Olympics last year.
Yeah, I mean, like,
I just keep it.
Yeah, and that's where they get you. Let's go back to this before we talk about what we got to get to here, because I think it's very important, and you need to be aware of what's happening with the Hawks. Who gets up at 3 a.m. to watch a damn show?
If we were on the Pacific Coast, it'd be at midnight.
But we're not.
It wouldn't be a stretch.
We're not.
And then our show would start 3 hours earlier in the day, though, Abe, too.
Hey,
yes.
It makes no sense for you to want to get up at 3 to binge watch Quarterbacks on Netflix. It comes out technically when you say tomorrow. That's midnight tonight.
3 a.m. our time, midnight Pacific. Okay. They do their thing. I don't know. 3 a.m. is when it drops.
Okay. And you're going to get up and binge it.
I mean, I'll wake up. I'm not going to get out of bed. I got a TV right there.
Yeah, I'm not doing any of that.
I told you. I'll let you know. I'll run a diary.
I'm sure you will.
I'll let you know what's going on.
I think, by the way, to answer your question, and we'll see, all the stuff that you're talking about, like,
internally, it's fine. I get that.
Yeah, I don't think any
of
that changes.
It's going to be reactionary from a fan base.
Yeah.
And then the media will have to ask based on that reaction.
Okay.
But, yeah, it's all in the past in terms of Raheem and Zach Robinson and Penix and Kirk. I fully agree. But you're going to see reactions from the fan base. You know that. And then the media is going to have to respond through those reactions.
By the way, if you don't know what we're talking about, Quarterbacks is the series that started. There's only been one. This is the second go-around. Joe Burrow, Kirk Cousins, and who's the third quarterback?
Goff, right?
Yes, Jared Goff. Mm. So they do this, and we want to say there's 8 episodes. We're not sure. Is there 8?
I'll find out. I'll text you at 3 a.m. let you know.
Don't, because my phone.
It should be 8.
And so this is where they go behind the scenes. And the crazy thing is, to Abe's point, they were following Kirk Cousins last year. We didn't know. And now we know he was a part of the first one, okay? So this is when he was in Minnesota, and we all kind of said, I even said it, like, hey, I have a new affinity for Kirk Cousins. He seems all right, man. I mean, like, we don't get to know these guys as well as you think. And so this takes you behind the scenes, and we're going to find out. You know, I think they show in part of the previews the hit that he took with the Saints, which he claims was the injury that didn't allow him to be able to throw the football the way he wanted to. Either way, it comes out. What time?
3 a.m.
Okay, yeah. What's up, O?
Is there anything that can be shown on Quarterback that'll change their perspective or put anything in like a negative light or a more positive light?
From them, no. From the fan base, yes.
What?
I'll let you know at 3 a.m.
Come on.
There isn't.
I mean, what is the point?
I think there's going to be stuff from draft night where people are going to sit there and say, see, I knew they weren't tight. I knew it.
Well, what if there's a conversation that air, like, Kirk's at home with his wife, and he's like, yeah, my shoulder kind of hurts. I don't know if I should be out there playing.
Oh, there's going to be plenty.
I mean, stuff like that.
Yeah,
that
there's
going to
be a fan base that claims that, yes, he did lie.
Okay.
Sure.
Yes. That's part of it, absolutely. Yes.
But I agree with you, Carl. They have moved past all of that. First off, they didn't have to move past it because it wasn't really a thing for them.
It was a thing for everybody else.
I said this back then. I stand by it now. I think more players than we care to admit understand why Kirk Cousins made the decisions that he made. I just don't think it's a problem for them. I think a lot of them in that same situation would do the same thing. The fan base, however.
Yeah, but you cost me a year.
Yeah, sure.
And my career is not long.
I get that.
So I have a problem with it if I'm a player. You cost
me. But I think you get past it because there's understanding.
Well, we get past it because we have to, not because I have to understand it. We get past it because I have to. I'm under contract, and guess what? I'm coming back. But we had a team that was in position to go to the playoffs. You just cost me a year, bro. That's how I'm looking. If I'm a player, that's how I'm looking
at it. And by the way, that's how you sell it being a problem to the fan base. That's what they eat up.
So,
but I don't think that's the reality inside the locker room.
No, and neither do I. I don't think guys dislike him. Matter of fact, I know they don't. That is not the problem that happened. It was not a cause and effect situation with Cousins last year. All right, we'll find out more. Quarterbacks comes out tonight. Abe's going to be the only dude up watching it, and we'll find out more tomorrow on the show. We got to talk about this real quick, and this is something we're going to continue to talk about because you were telling me and Big O was telling me, and I guess because I was on a boat, I wasn't paying attention. But Trae Young has some suspicious
cryptic.
Posts.
Cryptic's the word of interest here.
But isn't that?
I'm not worried.
Okay, here you go. This is when we start to talk about this. Now you're going. Wait a minute, Trae's happy. Trae was he was at the introduction of Asa Newell, and you know he's shown up at things we didn't expect him to show up for this year. Trae's fine. He just got help that he's never had. What's the issue? We're not saying there's an issue. What we're saying is that it feels, until somebody tells us differently, that Trae is kind of saying, y'all going to pay me this max, this four-year $229 million extension that I can sign between now and next June 30th? And, oh, by the way, you can wait, but if I'm all NBA, it's 5 years, $345 supermax. Y'all going to go ahead and take care of this? Because that's sort of what this cryptic stuff that you're talking about feels like.
And
now it could be something different, but we always say this. If it is, just say it, Trae. Like if it's something else, great. But when you put stuff out there that makes it feel like this is the message he's sending, would you agree?
Two things that came to mind when I first saw that is it's not a coincidence on the timeline. Now, when I say the timeline, you're talking about the back end timeline.
That's right.
Of when the contract has to be signed by. The contract window just opened. He is sending out this tweet, or I guess it was on his IG stories.
Right.
The day of his initial eligibility.
And
I don't think that's a coincidence.
But it didn't say anything specific to this, did it?
So we're left to take our own context.
Okay.
And then Oren also said that a hourglass emoji was sent as well.
Okay.
I mean, there's only a couple places to go.
I know what that is. Yeah, I mean, like, tick, 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 right? And he's not doing that for trade. He's not talking about the draft. We're past all of that. He is talking about this new deal.
Nothing else.
It feels
nothing
like
else.
It feels like there's nothing else.
It also feels like that's the last decision to be made about this team.
Okay.
And I know they still have some fringe movement possibilities and all that. Doesn't feel like there's much more for Ansi Saleh to do right now. Now, they did just go ahead and finally make everything else official. Maybe they had to work on that and get everything in line there first. If they're going to do the extension, it should be this week.
Okay, so you're paying
if they're going to do it at all,
so
it should be
you're
this
pay him
week.
You're going to pay them the $229 then? 4 year, $229?
Well, they are.
You going to do it?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm waiting.
Four?
I need to see what this is.
Shea got it announced early. Like,
if you see what this is, you're going to find out the next year what it's not.
Look, if he balls out and we go deep and we make a run, if we win the East, I have no problems cutting him a five-year $345. Zero. I cannot
do that. It ain't the question of whether you got the problem. It's whether they have that problem.
Well, they may have a problem because you've not won enough the last few years to justify this. Now, he got it, his first big deal, right? He got it. Nobody had a problem with it, but we made a run in the Eastern Conference Finals when it was completely unexpected. Since then, whether he's been on par to be a top 10 player or not, and he has, 28-10, you can tell me all day what he is and what he isn't. But when you talk about winning and affecting winning and this organization viewed as winning, you're ready to cut that check? I'm not. I'm waiting.
All right, so then let's play realistic bad case scenario.
Okay.
Porzingis isn't healthy. Jalen doesn't stay healthy.
Okay, don't go there.
So then what? No.
That's terrible.
Because someone might have to go there, Carl.
Okay. All right, fine.
Now what's the plan Trey? When you don't know what it's going to be.
That's why
don't
you wait.
Put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby.
That's why you
don't
wait.
Don't put that on us.
You don't do it now. Sorry, Trey. You don't do it now.
Then you don't do it ever.
We all know.
Then it's not going to get done.
We all want our money, right? We all are looking at the watch and like, yo, it's time. Like, when it's time for your evaluation, if you still have those, you go in like you're ready for them to be like, yo, give me my 2%. All right? I need it right now.
My cost of living.
That's right. Give me my nickel, okay? But you want it. I get Trey with the hourglass or whatever the hell it was. I understand that. I'm not doing anything right now if I'm the Hawks.
Well,
we need to find out what this group is.
How much communication does there need to be? Like, if it's not going to get done before let's work with your scenario, okay. Right? They want to see what it is.
Yes.
Fine. And I totally, it's a realistic and it's a fair approach. They certainly would have told him that. They certainly would have been like,
I don't know about that.
He can't be sitting there waiting for an offer that's not coming.
Well, he's under
That's terrible
he's,
communication.
He's under contract. He's still making a blank load of money.
You still talk to him. Come on.
He's fine.
You still tell him, right?
Because here's the reality of this. If you're Trey, you know how bad you want this to work? You want this to work $345 million. That bad.
That's how kicker, baby.
That's how bad you want this to work. And guess what? If everything goes right, as assumed, and we think as good as this team's going to be, right? Dyson, again, first team all defense. Zachary Chache takes a step. He's giving you 17 to 20 a night. All of a sudden, Jalen's back. He's giving you a double-double every night. All of a sudden, Porzingis is killing it, right? Trey's leading the league in assists. Again, guess what? We're a top four team. Oh, we get home games in the playoffs. Guess what? We get to the Eastern Conference Finals. Follow me here. Now we can cut the check.
You forgot Nikhil Alexander Walker locking dudes down.
He's going to ball out.
Going to lock dudes down.
He's going to ball out.
I get that.
So that is why I wait. If you do this now, and I'm not saying he's not motivated because he loves playing. He's a gym rat. But why? Earn this, man. Like we paid you for what you did. You were amazing. You're here. You're our star. But we've finally given you something to work with. Go show us what this is.
The premise of that is perfectly fine. Then you communicate that to him. You don't leave him out there posting cryptic nonsense on social media.
He'd do that anyway.
No, he wouldn't. Not if you told him. Wait a minute.
If they tell you you're not getting your 2%, hey, Carl, you're still not going to be mad about it?
I get it's a tough conversation to have. Sometimes you got to have those.
That 9 o'clock check-in time is going to be 9:05.
That's all I'm saying.
9:06.
When you go in for your evaluation and they're like, hey, we'll talk to you. Abe, we're going to get to your conversation.
10:30. You seen Carl this morning?
But by the way, just want to let you know, you probably won't be getting your 2%, but we'll talk to you down the road. You know, but it doesn't mean that you're still not mad about it.
I get that. But you don't communicate it on social
media.
And
by the way, yours is more than 2%.
I guarantee you, it's way less. Sometimes they pay... and pay raises comes with decimal points, bro.
That man's stretching to me, Carl. Stretching the meat, boss.
2%, man. It's more than that. I don't know what it is. We're privately owned now. Hey, coming up, NFL. We got to talk about what's going on, and there is a lot as we gear up for training camp. You guys can chime in, 404-726-0929. You pay him now? He's posting hourglasses. You pay him now? It's Dukes and Bell.